Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, just the piano playing there in your seat. Why don't you surrender to Him? We're not surrendering to Pastor Angel. We're not surrendering to a call to anything tonight. But we can surrender these next few moments to Him. He's trustworthy. He's faithful. He's not a hard taskmaster. He's a loving and holy and faithful God. And we can surrender to Him these moments. Father, life is so busy. Life is so involved. It's so many different things pulling on people at home, at work, responsibility-wise, financially. And Lord, some dealing with relationships that need Your help and care. And those matters are pulling and tugging. And then there are good things in life that pull and tug at us as well. But Lord, these moments are set aside for You. We surrender the next several minutes to You tonight. Work on our hearts. Speak to us. Help us as only You can through Your Word and the power of Your Spirit. May it fill us tonight. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. And amen. 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Find that scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Give you just a moment there. You'll locate that. It won't take you very long. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, and a very familiar text to us tonight. And since I prayed, I'm just going to go ahead and read, and you follow along here as I begin reading in verse number 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 30. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And so I want to speak to you tonight on this subject, coming out of discouragement. Coming out of discouragement. The words encouragement and discouragement are topics that are often the theme of conversation between people. Once again, I'm sounding loud to myself. Or is it too loud out there, or is it okay? I don't want to just bomb blast you, so it sounds just a little loud. It's not unusual at all to hear someone say to a friend or an acquaintance, somebody says, "How you doing?" And they'll say something like, "Well, I'm encouraged, to be honest with you." And nor is it unusual if somebody's asked how they're doing to hear the opposite. "Well, to be honest with you, I'm a little discouraged, or I've been a little discouraged." Or maybe you say the same about someone else in conversation with your spouse or a friend. You say about some person, "Well, I believe they're encouraged." Or you might say to somebody else, "I'm afraid they are discouraged." And so it's the topic of conversation often. Now, pretty much the two words speak of either the presence of courage, encourage, or the absence of courage, discourage. Encourage is the rise of courage, and discourage is the decline of courage. Webster's dictionary defines it this way, encouraged as emboldened, animated, incited, and it defines discouraged as disheartened, deprived of confidence. Now, in life, I believe all people go through times of both encouragement and discouragement. And I want to say tonight, I don't believe it's a sin to be discouraged. But I do want to say it's not necessary for a child of God especially to linger long in discouragement. Now, David encouraged himself in the Lord. I don't know how discouraged he was. But the fact that he encouraged himself tells us that to some degree, David was discouraged. Now, I'm sure that there are levels or degrees of discouragement. Sometimes people can be minimally discouraged. Other times they can be deeply discouraged. And I'm not sure where David was on that degree of discouragement. But the fact that he encouraged himself tells me that he was experiencing some level or degree of discouragement. Now, you probably know the setting of this story, so I'm just going to summarize it for us tonight, not in great detail. David had a lapse in faith. This is in previous chapters. He had a lapse in faith. I believe that lapse in faith came just as a result of being physically tired, exhausted. Saul and his men had hunted for David, the Bible says, like a man hunts for a partridge. And so you picture a bird hunter out on this cold morning, kicking up where the birds are sitting tight. And they'd hunted for David in that way. And he'd run for his life, from cave, through the mountains, down the valleys, up and down. And I think he was just discouraged. And Saul finally, he was tired. And Saul finally gave it up. And when he gave it up, David did an unbelievable thing. He took his 600 men and he went over to join the forces of the army of the Philistines. So he's taken 600 men that God had given him. Yeah, they were misfits. You call it a Baptist church if you'd like to. Amen. And, it's just what it was. And so here, there's a group of people. They're in debt. They're distressed. There are all kinds of problems, And here David's worked with them. They've become a mighty band of men. So now they go over and join the Philistine army. And then the day came when the Philistines were going to go to war against the Israelites. And they're all lining up for battle. And the lords of the Philistines are, you've probably seen pictures where generals and heads of state will examine the troops. And, here are the Philistine lords looking over the army as it's assembling. And to their amazement, David and a group of 600 men have lined up with them. And this is news to them. So they begin asking some questions. What is he doing in our army? This is the one about whom they sang, David has slain his 10,000s. Most of those 10,000s were our people. And what is he going to go to war with us? No, over my dead body. He said, no, they're not going to war with us. This is a trap. This is a deceitful thing. We're going to go to war, and they're going to turn on us, along with the Israelites, and we're going to get licked. You tell David and his men goodbye. And I think it was Achish was actually the one. And he said, no. He said, you tell him goodbye. So Achish had to go and tell David, sorry, but you're not going to battle today. I'm going to tell you what, the providence of God kept David from a very serious thing. And so he sent David on his way, and he's gone. So he takes now his 600 men, and he's coming over there and going back to their camp. And while he and his men were away, the Amalekites had invaded their camp at Ziklag and had taken all of their possessions, captured their wives and their children, and burned it with fire. Now, we're talking complete destruction. The word Ziklag means pressed down. Now, sometimes we read the Bible like it's a fairy tale. Don't read the Bible like it's a fairy tale. Try to live that thing in your mind. You're riding your horse back to your camp, and in the distance you see smoke rising from just about the place where your camp is. And so you spur your horse a little bit harder to pick up his speed and pick up his pace, and you top the hill, and the closer you get, the bigger the smoke cloud is, and maybe even you're beginning to pick up whiffs of smell of smoke in the air, and as you top the last hill and come over that hill, there in front of you is the soot and the smoke and the sight of blackened timber and scorched wood where your loved ones had lived. That's what happened. Now, immediately, they're starting to think to themselves, what in the world? Our wives and our children are gone. Are they dead? Who cares about the livestock? What about my loved ones? And the reaction to what they came up on, you see in verse number 4, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. You ever been there? You cried until there were no more tears to cry. You just dried up. And they wept until they had no more power to weep. There was no more tears coming out of the tear ducts. And then David is right in the middle of this because his loved ones are there as well. And now David, he senses all of a sudden this murmuring and these voices kind of under their breath talking to each other. And he turns to find this group of 600 men looking at him. Menacingly. And they may not have said it with their mouth, but their looks were saying, "You're responsible for this. You led us away from our families. You left our loved ones and our homes unprotected." And I'll tell you something, people, things went south for David quick. Quick. Now, there's nobody on the scene to whom David could turn to encourage him. Not one of those 600 men. Not one of them. There weren't one of them, as far as we know, with him. Not one of them spoke an encouraging word. They all spoke of stoning him. Now, this is different. Paul writes about something completely different. We won't turn to it. In the New Testament, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, listen to what he said. He said, when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. We were troubled on every side, without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God comforted us by the coming of Titus. So when Paul was in a place of discouragement, God sent him Titus, and the arrival of one friendly voice and one friendly face encouraged the Apostle Paul. But David has no Titus. David has no Jonathan in this crowd, as far as we know. None. He's not got one man to offer any word of encouragement. How can David find encouragement when there's no one around to help encourage him? So the question, how can we find encouragement when we are in one of those times when no one else is either available or not willing to offer encouragement? We hit discouragement and we feel like, you know, I've got to talk to somebody. So we call so-and-so and we get them on the phone. Or I'm going to call the pastor. I'm going to call brother so-and-so. And that's certainly helpful if people are available. But what if they're not? What do you do? What do you do in Brazil when no one's available, Jamie? What do you do? What do you do when you're by yourself? What do you do when there's no Titus, when there's no voice, when there's no one to comfort and encourage and pick you up? What do you do? Well, the Bible tells us here one sentence about David in this situation. One sentence. That's all the light we have. The Bible doesn't have a lot to say in this text about how David dealt with this discouragement. It just says, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That's really all we're told. So let's break this down tonight. Look at it. Coming out of discouragement, when you hit discouragement, when I hit discouragement, we hit that time where we're a little lacking of courage and fearful. And like Paul said, maybe fightings without and fears within. And there's no Titus. There's no Titus to look in the face. There's no Titus to hear on the phone. How do we encourage ourselves? In the Lord our God. All right, let's break it down. Number one, David encouraged himself. He encouraged himself. Now, he was responsible for those 600 men. But people, there was no sense in David attempting to encourage others. He himself was discouraged. So you know who he began with? He began with himself. That may sound selfish, but people, sometimes it's going to be pretty hard to try to encourage anybody else if you yourself are discouraged. Someone said, I quote now, "He who speaks to everyone except himself is a great fool." Think about that. He who speaks to everyone except himself is a great fool. I'm in that stretch right now with college starting and our school starting and meetings where I'm up in front of people speaking to people a lot. I am a great fool if all I do is speak to people and never take time to speak to myself. And when we hit these low times, we need to be sure that we talk to ourselves, speak to ourselves, and we would probably need to give ourselves a good talking to instead of coddling our emotions. That's what we do a lot of times. We certainly don't help ourselves when we say things to ourselves like, you deserve better than this. First of all, that's not true. What we deserve is hell. So anything better than hell is a blessing. So we're coddling ourselves when we tell ourselves. But how many of us have said to ourselves, you deserve better than them? Don't everybody raise your hand at once, all right? Or why in the world, you're talking to yourself now, why in the world is this happening to you? Why is this happening to you? Or this just isn't fair. This just isn't fair. Or you've tried to serve God. Look how it turned out. Now, we take great comfort in that kind of talking to ourselves. But people, when we talk like that to ourselves, we're just coddling ourselves. We're coddling our emotions and adding to the discouragement. Telling yourself you deserve better than this is not going to get you out of discouragement. It's probably going to drive you further into discouragement. Telling yourself, look what happened. I try to live my life for God and look at how it turns out is not going to encourage you to keep living for God. That's going to encourage you to throw it all away. So you got to be careful. We need a good talking to when we're discouraged. And guess what? Sometimes we are the ones who need to provide it. And that's what David did. David encouraged himself. Now, the second thing I see in this passage, in that statement, is David encouraged himself in the Lord. In the Lord. So how did David do that? How did David discourage himself in the Lord? You say, well, I would imagine that he began to pray. Well, I think praying was the result of encouraging himself, because praying came about in verses 7 and 8. But the verse says in verse number 6 that he encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, people, if you were all alone, you had nobody to call, nobody to talk to, and preceding the privilege of prayer, you needed to give yourself a talking to, number one, and then you needed to encourage yourself in the Lord. In the Lord. In the Lord, where would you turn? Psalms. Let's broaden that. We got a Bible. Now hang with me a minute, okay? David only had a portion of the Scripture. A portion. And who knows how big a portion. Maybe just the Pentateuch. I don't know. But let me give you, and again, I'm sorry, I don't have a lot in the context to base what I'm about to tell you on, but just stick with me through this, and I think it'll make some sense to you. Here are some biblically based suggestions that may help you if you use them in talking to yourself and encouraging yourself in the Lord. You don't deserve this is not in the Lord. Where do you find that in Scripture? This is not fair. Where do you find that in the Bible? You don't. What you do find is something like this. So I'm talking to myself now. I'm discouraged. I can't get a hold of anybody. Or I'm in a situation where I can't call anybody. I can't see somebody face to face. I have no Titus. Okay? And I have nobody. So what am I going to do? I'm going to talk to myself. Hey, angel, if the world seems to hate you, remember that it hated Jesus first. Do you know, people, what that is? That is a biblically based truth. That comes right out of John chapter 15, verse number 18, where Jesus said, if the world hate you, remember that it hated me before it hated you. So you're discouraged because somebody's been mean to you. You're discouraged because somebody's mistreated you. You're discouraged because your neighbor, you know, you tried to befriend and get them to church, and now they've turned on you, and it's a mess, and you're discouraged about it. Okay, you've got to talk to yourself. When you talk to yourself, you can't feed yourself unbiblical truth. You've got to feed yourself Bible truth. You know what? The world hated Jesus, and Jesus said, you know, and I certainly don't measure up to Jesus. I don't mean to insult you, but I don't think any of you do either. if they hated him, guess what? They're going to hate me too. They're going to hate me too. That's biblically based. If that one doesn't work, here's another one that you could throw out to yourself. You could say to yourself, Miller, because I'm not the only one that gets discouraged, okay? Miller, the reason you do not feel at home in this world is because you are not of this world. That's a biblically based truth. You work, you move about in this world, and you feel less and less, if you want to put it this way, accepted, less and less part of the mainstream. We're not part of the mainstream. If you haven't figured that one out yet, if you're looking to be a part of the mainstream as a disciple of Christ, you better look somewhere else. And so you think to yourself, man, I just don't feel at home down here. You can't help yourself with this is not fair. You help yourself with what Jesus Christ said in John 15 and verse 19, you're not of this world. I'm paraphrasing. You don't feel at home in this world because you're not of this world. Your conversation is in another world. You are now a citizen of heaven. This world's not your home. You're just a passing through. That truth encourages you. It doesn't put you further into discouragement. It helps you start climbing out. It's something to stand on. So you're talking to yourself. Hey, brag. They persecuted Jesus long before they persecuted you. That's what Christ said. Read John 15 when you get home tonight. Over and over and over in John 15, he's saying, boys, come on. I've been through this a lot longer than you have. I've been through this before you ever went through it. And he says in John 15, verse number 20, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Being mistreated by someone is exactly what happened to your Savior, angel. You're no better than Christ. If it happened, the servant's not greater than his Lord. If it happened to him, it's going to happen to you. Instead of waddling and groveling around in self-pity, look, I've been trying to serve Jesus, and look how it's all turned out. Oh, you've really helped yourself. Remember those two walking on the road to Emmaus? We supposed that it was him, but I guess it's not. That's not biblically based. That didn't put them out of discouragement. That buried them deeper in discouragement. So you got to speak to yourself. You got to speak to yourself. You know, if you get discouraged, hey, Raritan, talking to himself, Brother Jeff says, you know what? I've kind of had a couple of setbacks lately, but the book says a just man falleth 7 times, yet riseth up again. You're saved. You're a child of God. You get up and you get going. You've fallen down. Now you get up and get moving again. That's biblically based. That's something concrete to stand on. That'll give you some footing if you're in the mire of discouragement, in the quicksand of discouragement. I'll quit using names because somebody will get offended here eventually. But anyway, so you're talking to yourself and you say, hey, you know what? Go open your pantry. Look at all that food. Go open your closet. How many pairs of shoes are in there? How many clothes? How many dresser drawers full of clothes? Seems to you, hey, son, listen, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to myself. Hey, listen to me. The Bible says, Paul told Timothy, if you've got food and raiment, that's all you really need. And you quit whining about what toy you can't buy. Get over it. Well, it's just not fair. I tithe and I give to missions and I'm driving an old broken down and my neighbor has all this new stuff and even a four-wheeler on top of it. It's just, well, you've really helped yourself. You've really encouraged yourself. You've encouraged yourself to be more discouraged. No. Hey, you are saved forever. That's far more than you deserve. I heard Brother Ed say, amen. You asked Brother Ed, how you doing, Brother Bragg? Saved forever. I preached a whole sermon on that one time here. Saved forever. When you're discouraged, he encouraged himself in the Lord, not in his self-pity. You say, well, I am not minimizing the encouragement of a Titus. I'm not minimizing that. I'm glad that I have a phone, and in most cases, I can pick it up and call somebody. I can even sometimes sit down with my wife, and she, oh, but what if there is no Titus? What if you're all alone? What are you going to say to yourself? What are you going to talk to yourself about? Philippians 1:6, you're saved forever. That's more than you deserve. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hey, I'm saved forever. That's biblical. Hey, son. Hey, lady. Because you ladies got to talk to yourselves too once in a while. You're discouraged? Hey, answer me a question. How much does God love you? You are called the Son of God. Beloved, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Wicked, vile, Adamic nature, wicked heathen, and I am called the Son of God through His love. Okay, talk to yourself. You know what? Hey, your fellowship has lapsed recently, and you've not been what you ought to be, but God has not failed to be gracious to you, and you have past experiences with Him that were real, and He has not moved. You are His child, and you get back close to God. That's biblical. That's Bible. That's God's Word. We can wallow around in coddling ourselves, or we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. Hey, listen, I want to talk to you. I'm talking to myself. You're talking to yourself driving down the road. You're talking to yourself at the sink as you wash dishes. You're talking to yourself when you're mired in the quicksand of discouragement. Listen, God will not overload you with more than you can bear. You're on the potter's wheel. He is molding. He's shaping. You stay on that wheel and be happy that God loves you enough to make you. That's biblical, folks. You say, what are you saying tonight? I'm saying, I don't know any other way to encourage yourself in the Lord than through what the Lord has said in His Word. In His Word. Our thoughts have to be biblically based, not humanly or emotionally based. We dig ourselves a deeper hole by thinking ourselves further into discouragement. You remember the guy over in Luke chapter 12? That rich man Jesus told that parable about, and he thought within himself, what shall I do? I know what I will do. I'll pull down my barns and build bigger because I have all these fruits and grains, and I'm going to store all my fruits and grains in those bigger barns. And then I'm going to say to myself, soul, take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. You've got it all set up for a long time. None of that was biblically based. They weren't his fruits. They weren't his goods. It all belongs to God. And he had no idea how long he would live. And I'm just using that as an example of a person who talked to themselves wrongly. He talked to himself wrongly. And when you and I hit a point of discouragement, it's very important how we talk to ourselves. David encouraged himself. He began with himself. He got 600 men against him. He might as well not work to encourage them. Hey, guys, come on now. It could be worse. Right? You know, sure. How much worse can it get? Could be you instead of your wife, I guess. That would be worse, okay. But what's he going to do? He can't encourage them, so he's going to start with himself. And when he starts with himself, he encourages himself in the Lord. Look, God gave us truth. And when we are discouraged, it's usually because we have believed one of the devil's lies. and what we need. What is the opposite of lie and error? Truth. What we need to pull us out of the quicksand of discouragement is the encouragement of truth, not further lies. God just hadn't been fair to me. That's a lie. It's a lie of the devil. Speak to yourself with truth. We find truth in God's book. I think this fits over there real good. I'm going to butcher it unless I turn to it. But for sake of time, don't everybody turn there. But it fits in real good with what Paul wrote to the Philippian church about. And chapter 4, you know the verse number 8. And he said this, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise," what? Think, talk to yourself about that. You want to talk to yourself about something? That's what you talk to yourself about. Speak to yourself. Man, he's in a bad spot. He has 600 men, not only dealing with his own personal loss of wife and children, in this case, wives and children, but 600 men who've lost all their stuff too. You talk about pressed down? You talk about under it? My soul. And not a Titus anywhere. What are you going to do, David? Run. Get away from these mad guys. I'm going to talk to myself. What are you going to tell yourself? This isn't fair. That's going to help him. I don't know why God's done this to me. I was trying to do right. That's going to help. No, you start speaking truth to yourself. Truth based on God's Word. So he encouraged himself. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Number three, he encouraged himself in the Lord. What's the next two words? His God. He encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Now, we can only speculate what David said to himself. We're not told. But we figure that it had to be truth. Okay? Because he had to start talking to himself. It had to be the theme of his thinking. And he was reminded through all of this that the Lord was my dad's God. Well, that's wonderful. But there's something better than that. Yes, I'm reminded that the Lord was Samuel's God. Yes, he was. And what a man Samuel was. But David, there's something more wonderful than God being Samuel's God, than God being Jesse's God. There's something more wonderful than that. God is your God. Personal. Your own. And he was reminded of that. His God had called him out of all Israel, out from among all of his brothers, to be the king. His God had done that. His God had Samuel anoint him with the horn of oil. No, he had not become king yet, but God had not changed his plan. There had been no word from God that, hey, you're not going to be king. So it's still out there somewhere. His God had delivered him from a lion and a bear. His God had used him to kill the giant and take his head and take it back to the camp of Israel and say, look what God has done. His God had been his help. His God had kept him from the javelin that Saul hurled at him in the court there of Saul's palace. His God had his wife Michal let him down through a window when he was pursued by his killers. Over and over, as David looked back over his life, in these moments evidently, he was reminded of the fact that God was his God. How many times had his God come to his aid? Would he not do it again? Would he not do it again? And all of that based on some kind of biblical thinking, some kind of thinking that had concrete to it, that had substance to it, thinking that wasn't coddling our emotions and playing on our mistreatment. And people, this is why it's so important to build a relationship with your God. Not just the God of your parents, not just the God of your pastor, not the God of your friends, not the God of people in the Bible, not the God of post-Bible people, but your God, yours. How many times has He come to your aid? Will He not come again? You must read of Him and get to know His Word. You must know the strength of His touch, His strengthening arm. You must know the still small voice that comes when no one else is around. You must know your God. And you young men and you young ladies, why do you take this waiting game, play this waiting game? Yeah, when I get older, I'll have time to develop a relationship with God myself. You don't know when you're going to need your God. It might be a lot sooner than you think. Build a relationship with Him. And when you do, that provides a reservoir of memories to draw from when you're discouraged, when you're pressed down. Instead of coddling ourselves, encouraging ourselves with God's truth based on how many times He's come through for me. And as I look back over these almost 44 years of salvation, in about a month and a half, it'll be 44 years since I was saved. There are memories of God's coming to my help. When I was in Bible college and wanted to quit, God came to my help. He really did. And I'm not going to go into all, I don't have time for all stories tonight. When I was in Iowa, confused and unsure, thought I knew the will of God. Did I know the will of God? What is God's will? I'm so confused. When I reached that, every time the phone would ring, I would jump up in the air and run. I was so confused. Am I supposed to stay? Am I supposed to leave? Do I need to buy this house? I'm trying to sell mine. It's sold now. It's not sold. Make an offer on this house. No, I'm going to move. It was so pressed down. God came to my aid. God came to my help. Settled some things in my heart. And I could walk in and sit down across the desk from Brother Brown and say, "Preacher, I know now this is what God wants." I could have coddled my emotions. God came to my help. Now here for over these 29 years, my wife will tell you, he doesn't get down. That's what she'll tell you. And I suppose I don't very often, but I'm going to tell you something. Everyone comes to our Ziklag. Everyone comes to a Ziklag. We all do. In fact, it may not be as desperate as Ziklag was to David. I doubt many of us have been at exactly the Ziklag he was at. But that place of being pressed down, and no one else can, or no one is available to encourage us. How are you going to come out of it? I don't think it's a sin. It may be to stay there. It definitely is to dig yourself deeper by having all these unbiblical thoughts run through your mind. So you got to encourage yourself by talking truth to yourself. Encouraging yourself in the Lord and building a personal relationship with your God where you build this reservoir of seeing God. In fact, I'm talking to people right now from one side of the auditorium, front, back, all. You have a reservoir of times in your memory when God came to your aid. And you know He did. And He will again. Because He is not just Pastor Angel's God. He's not just Brother So-and-so's God or my dad's God. He's your God. So when you come to your Ziklag and you need to come out of discouragement, you speak to yourself. and you speak truth to yourself. Don't tell more lies that bury you deeper. And you fall back on the memories of times past when your God came and said, here, let me help you up. Amen. And you get yourself out of discouragement. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your book and all it teaches us. And I trust, Lord, I don't ever want to do any damage to the truth of the Scripture. I don't want to do that. I don't want to stretch it further than it ought to be stretched at all. But somehow David encouraged himself. Somehow. And he began with himself. And he did it in you, in your truth. And we have truth in our book here. And David had a relationship with you to fall back on that reminded him, yeah, my God has helped me before. And I pray for people. I don't know, Lord, of any specific cases tonight of discouragement, so I'm not preaching to an individual. I'm preaching to a group of people that I love, that I care for. We are all alike. We all have come to our Ziklags. Maybe some are in a Ziklag right now. And I pray that you'll help them through the truth of the Word of God to encourage themselves in you, their God. Speak to our hearts tonight as only you can. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart specifically tonight in a specific way. Now pray for me. I want God to use this in my heart. Would you just raise your hand tonight wherever you may be sitting in the room? Yes, amen, 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 amen. Is there anybody here tonight you're not saved? You're not sure you're on your way to heaven? Is there anybody here tonight that needs to follow the Lord in believer's baptism and obey the Lord in that area? You come tonight. If you raise your hand, God ministered to you tonight through the preaching of His Word, spoke to you specifically. And coming to the altar doesn't tell everybody, hey, I'm at Ziklag and I'm discouraged. Coming to the altar just means that God spoke to you and gave you something for your heart, and you're going to honor Him by responding. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. And the ladies are playing a song of invitation tonight. You're not going to help yourself by compounding the lies of you don't deserve this, the lies of God's not treating me fair. That's not going to help you. Been in those places where I have compounded the discouragement by letting myself, by telling myself things that are not based on God's truth. When a man or a woman starts speaking truth to themselves, they'll find help in truth. Discouragement.